It's great to be back here, and again, apologize that I don't preach in English very often nowadays, and I tend to get lost myself, so bear with me. We call ourselves Christians. What are other words you would use to call yourselves? Common ones? Christ followers, very good. Anything else? Believers, yes. And what are some of those Bible words that we use? Okay, obviously, yes. Okay, so I forgot to turn the power on. Just some of the common names we would use: believers, followers, disciples, children of God, servants or slaves of Jesus. Apostle Paul loves to use that one to call himself. Friends of Jesus, the saints, and that's the words that Apostle Paul usually call his readers, and Christians, and then Nazarenes. I don't know if you're aware of that one in Acts chapter 24, when Paul was standing in front of the trial, and then people call him a ringleader of the cult known as the Nazarenes. So it only happened once. But anyway, then the chosen and the foreigners. So the chosen can be translated as elect, and the foreigners, the same passage you sometimes translate as strangers. Or another one, older English is the aliens. We don't use that anymore. And exiles or wanderers. So these are some of the words. Now in 1 Peter, Peter called Christians the chosen foreigners. Obviously, I choose a different translation of the Bible. This morning I'm using the NLT Bible, that's New Living Translation. It's a slightly newer translation. I know most of us Chinese, we use bilingual Bible and always have NIV, you know. But I was introduced to NLT Bible a few years ago, and I find it's quite interesting. It gives me a little bit different perspective, and it uses some bit more contemporary words that I enjoy. Anyway, both chosen and the foreigners have appeared in other places of the Bible, but Peter is the only one who uses these two words together and called Christians the chosen foreigners. Then this name of a Christian for Christians shows our relationship with God and the relationship with the world. To God, we are His chosen people, and to the world, we are foreigners. So when putting these two words together, we get the image of someone who becomes a foreigner of the world because he is chosen by God and becomes a citizen of the kingdom of God. Now, Peter's readers are Christians who scattered around the provinces of this place is called Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Okay, so you can see the map. Sort of around the red and the green and the top yellow area. And so that these are areas are in today's Turkey, especially northern Turkey. So if you've traveled to that area, you might recognize some locations. These believers, they did not face state persecution because Christianity was seen as a sect of Judaism in those days, and therefore not officially an illegal religion. Nevertheless, there were local and sporadic persecutions. Christians were often being mistreated and discriminated against, and therefore Peter wrote this letter, stressed his readers as the chosen foreigners, encouraging them to persevere and not lose hope. So let us see how being the chosen foreigners can encourage people. Many passages of the Bible talk about God's choice. Okay, in fact, this is one of the most important concepts in the Bible. Abraham was chosen by God. Okay, Jacob was chosen instead of Esau. The Israelites were chosen to be the people of God. David was chosen to be the king of Israel, for example. According to chapter 1, verse 2, the way God chose us was not a random and mindless choice. So it was not an eeny, meeny, miny, mo kind of thing, you know. When we think about choice, sometimes we choose randomly, sometimes we consciously make decision. But look at the verse. God the Father knew you and chose you. So we know that God's knowing is not just knowing someone exists or just knowing someone's name. It is a deep understanding. And then this choice or this decision was made long ago. And it did not happen as a spontaneous decision or a spontaneous moment. And therefore, this verse shows us that God is serious about the people he chose. And then the Spirit of God is also involved in this choice. He has made the believers wholly sanctified. Holy and sanctified. This sanctification is an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the believers. We know how hard it is to live a holy life. So it is by the hard work of the Holy Spirit that we can be made holy. And then, because the believers are chosen by God, they are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. In other words, they are forgiven, they are redeemed, and they are made pure and allowed to be in the presence of God the Father. I know that we usually ask people to choose whether they are willing to become a Christian. Would you like to be a Christian? Would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And we also often feel that this is our decision, not God's decision. But when we understand that becoming a Christian involves with the Holy Trinity, which is the conscious and choice of God the Father from long ago, the sacrificial blood of Jesus, and the ongoing hard work of sanctification by the Holy Spirit, then we realize that the security of our salvation really is from God and not from us. We can make wrong choices. We all do. Okay, we say we choose to believe in Jesus, but we can also choose to do something else and could be wrong. But because God never makes wrong choice, therefore when he chooses us, then that will never be a mistake. And so knowing this kind of security, and Peter's reader were able to face hardship without losing hope. So Peter continued with the blessings of being God's chosen people. He used that list to encourage his readers. Firstly, I should probably read the verse. I didn't put it there. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay? So becoming a chosen person, we are born again, we become a new creation, and this is a second chance that God has given us to live our lives right. And again, the reason we can have this new life is because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, the second blessing is live with great expectation. Okay, now this phrase, great expectation, in more translations, they use living hope, which is, you may hear heard that before. However, when we think about living hope, it's like, what does that mean? Dead hope, living hope. Yeah. So therefore, in this translation, it says the great expectation. It tries to express that this hope or this expectation is not just a wishful thinking, but a certain and a secure hope. And the third blessing is this priceless inheritance. And the Bible told us that this priceless inheritance is an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. So we all know how the earthly inheritance can be lost. you can have a property and maybe a flood or earthquake that can destroy it. You know, anything, it's, or even just inflation make all our money become so small. So, yesterday on the news was talking about gold, and some people want to buy gold saying, oh, the gold price is really high, but again, it's not security. The priceless inheritance the Lord gave us, that is, that cannot be changed. It's beyond the reach of change and decay. So when we think about this kind of expectation and hope, sometimes we wonder, how can that be a motivation for our lives? So let me use a little story. This is the campus of Art Center College of Design. I did not make the misspelling, okay. They used to call Art Center College of Design, but they linked the first two words together. My cousin Terry grew up in America, and he loves drawing, and he was thinking of what to do, architect or designer, etc. And then he really wanted to be a car designer. And then he knew that if he can get into this college of design, then he could easily secure a job, because technically, or according to statistic, anyone who has a graduation paper from this school are guaranteed employment. Okay? They are very popular. People would fight for the graduate of this school into their companies. However, his grades wasn't as good enough for him to get into that school. His parents say, you can go to other places, no problem. There are still many other good schools around, then you can get in and secure a job later on. Now, it doesn't affect too much. But he has made up his mind. No matter what, he's going to try to get into the school. So he found that there are ways to deal with, you know, like getting evening classes, doing some small paper, etc. So for the next 3 to 5 years, he lived an upside-down life. He studied and work at night and sleep at day. And his parents just thought he was crazy, and why do you have to do that? I remember I went to visit him in America, you know, had a holiday there. Yeah, we can't knock on his door in the morning. You have to wait until dinner time to look for him or chat in his room. Well, at the end of the day, he finally got his graduation paper. And surely enough, he got a job. He was offered a job in Hyundai, and he worked in Detroit for 5 years, and he went back to California again and continued working in Hyundai until today. So he put all his hope on that statistic, on this particular school, because he knew that everyone graduate from there can get a good job. Okay, we could say that if there was a third world war, or there's something else happened, maybe the school, something happened to the school, or something happened to him, then this plan cannot be carried. Okay? But in contrary, when our Christian hope is on Christ Jesus, and it is built on even stronger statistic that is eternally unchanged. Okay? Even more secure than this school. So, as we can see, the reason in verse 5, it says, and it's through your faith God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day of all to see. So that is, our security is protected by the power of God. Never change. So that's ready. And so we can feel really secure. So you can see in the beginning of verse 6, then Peter said, so be truly glad. Be truly glad. But again, there's a catch. From the second half of the verse, say, there is wonderful joy ahead. Ooh, ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Okay, maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but these are the costs of being God's chosen people. Firstly, you have to become a foreigner of this world. Because when we are chosen, we become children of God and we become a citizen of heaven. And in this world, some of us can have a dual citizenship. I do. I have a New Zealand passport and Taiwan passport. But we know people from mainland China cannot have dual citizenship. So, like in my church, people would just have a permanent residency, but their citizenship is in China. Okay. However, in the kingdom of God, things do not work like that. Well, you can only have one. Okay? It's like if they really want to have a New Zealand citizenship, they have to give up their Chinese citizen. And when they want to go to China for holiday or visit their families, what do? China will treat them as foreigners, right? Do they need to apply for a visa? Yeah. Okay. So, in the kingdom of God, it's just like that. You cannot have a dual citizenship. No way. So you have to only choose one. And we have to give up this world. And then being foreigners of this world means this world would not like us. You know, we become different. We are no longer one of them. We are no longer on the same boat. The world will feel uncomfortable and challenged. Why do you leave us? And Peter said, you must endure many trials for a little while. So, do you like trials? No one. Right? Every time when we face trial, we ask Jesus, God, oh, we pray, oh, please remove that. Why me? Why? Peter, what does Peter say? He said, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. In other words, without trials, we do not know if our faith is genuine. Yeah, we may feel that our faith is genuine. However, we look around, we actually see a lot of people we thought they are genuine Christian, and they suddenly announce to the world, I am no longer believing God. It happens online. We saw that popular pastors in America, popular worship leaders in maybe Australia or UK or some places, they just one day decide, they maybe write some beautiful worship songs, and one day they say, I'm no longer Christian. And it could be because they face some kind of trials. It could even be because they read the Bible and they saw some passages they puzzled and couldn't figure out, and then decided that doesn't make sense. I don't want to believe a God like that, and then just walk away. I don't know. Nevertheless, I guess some other people maybe get hurt by Christians or by church leaders, etc. And then they just say, oh, if these people can call themselves Christians, then I do not want to be part of it. Okay? But without trials, we really cannot know if our faith is genuine. So I think a lot of times we don't know if we are Christians because we haven't really been tested. And we just feel like, yeah, it's okay. I sometimes question myself. I said to God, maybe the reason my faith is weak because I have been always living in such a comfortable and secure environment. But on the other hand, maybe I just did not live out the Christian life enough that people feel I'm different, you know, in that kind of situation. Therefore, we have not been tested our faith. Anyway, my grandfather heard about the gospel when he was a high school student. And that was during the Japanese ruling days. Long time ago, a Japanese missionary went to Taiwan and preached the gospel, and he was very touched, and he started to go to church. 4 months later, he decided that he is definitely going to be a Christian and was going to be baptized. It was around Christmas time. Then the pastor asked him, well, because of being a teenager, maybe like 16, 17 years old, he said, oh, have your parents agreed on your baptism? And he said, oh, my parents didn't know anything about us. Didn't know I became a Christian or anything. And the pastor said, knew that, okay. That's a problem. So he said, when a Japanese samurai became a believer, if his boss is against Christianity, then, or against Christians, then the boss would give the samurai a dagger. And the samurai must commit suicide by harakiri, the correct word of saying it. Okay, so that's the cutting of the belly. Okay, so he said, do you have this spirit of martyrdom and willingness to be persecuted for the Lord? And my grandfather said, yes. For those who may have heard me share a bit of that, he really faced a lot of hardship when he first became Christian. Kicked out from the family, no longer allowed to inherit the family inheritance, from a very wealthy family to become a person of absolutely nothing. Went to a Bible college where they speak Taiwanese. And then he could only speak Hakkanese and Japanese. And so had to rely on other people translate for him. Things like that. Yes, but that's the kind of trial that, or the kind of attitude we need to be, we need to have when we say we are a Christian. And there's another kind of a Christian. They think they are genuine Christian, but Jesus said to them, I don't know you. That's the danger. You see, that's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. So we need to ask ourselves, why do we become a Christian? Or why do we think we are a Christian? Have your faith been tested? Have you faced mistreatment or discrimination because you choose to live according to God's standard and not the trend of this world? So in other words, when you face trials, you can take this in this way. If I have not been tested in this world, then the final test would be at the judgment day, and I'll be too late to know if I'm a Christian or not. Okay? So in the same way, when Peter encouraged his readers that they are facing these trials, and he used the word must, okay, but he encouraged them, yeah, it is okay, because not only it proves that you are a genuine Christian, but your faith being tested, that's better than gold, isn't it? That verse saying that, words, I can't read it. I'm using my reading glasses, so I can't see the PowerPoint. Yes. Your faith, through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. And your faith remains strong through many trials and bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So that's talking about the day when Jesus returned. Now, maybe you still have some question. You're thinking, oh, how can I endure such a trial and hardship, if I face, oh, sometimes even not an external trial, maybe internal battles. You know, you maybe struggle with some habit, some sorts, some of your temper or things like that, and you feel like, how can I endure all that? But the Bible says, also says, the blessed are those who believe without seeing me. That's Jesus. When he mentioned about nothing, because a lot of time our question is, in those trials or in those days, we can't feel God. Is God really there helping me, supporting me, leading me through the trials? But we can see that for many people, the challenge is that they cannot see God, they cannot see Jesus. And you look at the history in the Old Testament, the Israelites betrayed God and went to worship idols because they can see the idols, they can't see their God. So, you know, like in Exodus, the Israelites couldn't see Moses, and then they already asked Aaron to build a golden calf for them. So it's a classic example that it is harder to believe in God that we cannot see. It's easier to believe in that idol. It's harder to believe in this unseen God. But, again, blessed are those who believe it without seeing. And Peter himself, he saw Jesus. He spent 3.5 years living with Jesus and following him. So he was praising those believers in the northern Turkey area, saying that, hey, you are all Gentiles. You did not live in the Palestine area or Galilee area. You never seen Jesus, but you believed. So that's wonderful. And then he praised their faith, and he also showed that showing that their faith or their this salvation that they believe in is also written in from the Old Testament. And we can see the Old Testament prophets, they also did not see what's going on, but they believed, they wanted to know God's plan for this whole thing. They studied harder, they listened to God, and they read down, you know, the Spirit of Christ that then enlightened them, illuminate or revealed the future in their heart. And therefore they're able to write down and they foresee the arrival of Jesus and foresee the salvation. Okay. They also did not see by their eyes, but they see in their hearts, in their faith. Okay. So the prophets are the one before Jesus, and these believers are the one after Jesus. You can say, we are more closer to those, people who, are the readers of Peter. Nevertheless, it's his way to explain that. That's the same thing. And then he even added one more thing. It's talking about the angels also did not know God's plan. They, or maybe they know, but they don't know how it's going to go to carry. It's like the prophets only knew part of it or some key dots, but without too much details. And then with the angels, and angels also wanted to see, they're eager. You can see it in verse 12. It is also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. So talking about the whole salvation. So for us, in conclusion, we can see that we are chosen by this triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all involved in this choice. And then our security is in the power of God. So our security is more than anything that can in this world can give us. And then because we become the citizen of the kingdom, and therefore we are foreigners of this world. And so we need to remember when we face a difficulty or when other people think we are strange, we need to remember, yes, we're supposed to be different because we are foreigners. And then we can endure trials because we have this priceless inheritance in the kingdom of God. So that is, the salvation plus rewards plus some unimaginable wonderful blessings that God has store for us to enjoy till for eternity. So when we facing difficulties, whatever the kind is, we can have this security. And again, one more note, when we share the gospel to other people, we don't just tell them all about the blessings. The blessings, these wonderful blessings that Peter mentioned, have a catch. Yeah, they need to know there must be trials. Like my grandfather, he need to know that he needs to have the spirit of the samurai. If not, then he should not be baptized. He cannot endure the persecution that he was about to face. And so, if we all have that, before we say, yeah, we want to be just a Christian, then we wouldn't give up our faith, isn't it? Yeah, let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for 1 Peter chapter 1. We thank you for your word because you encourage us. You tell us that we are special. We've been chosen by you. But we also be chosen with purpose. We are here to glorify your name. Lord, we may or may not face trials, but Lord, I pray that each one of us can have a genuine faith that is able to be tested and pure than gold, and that we will be able to stand before you and being welcomed by you rather than being rejected. Lord, thank you for using different names in the to call us so that we understand who we are. We are your follower. We believe in you. But we also need to remember we are foreigners of this world. So we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessings, and help us to endure all that, trials in this world, and that we can glorify your name, and then also show the world that being the citizen of heaven is way better than just being the citizen of this world. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.